The affirmation of faith for today, the last day of 2017, is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans in the first chapter. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The reading from God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, the 16th through the 23rd verse. Speaking of Jesus, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today's sermon, today's message is simple, and yet it is profound. The message is simply this: salvation is here and now. Let's take a look at Jesus' quotation from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus is reading what we know as chapter 61. Remember, Jesus did not have chapters and verses. Chapters and verses were developed by Christians and their church about the year 1200 AD, 1,200 years after Jesus walked the earth. About 300 years before Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And Jesus didn't have a book. Jesus had scrolls. Luke even mentions it in his report. And I would be surprised if the book of Isaiah was all on one scroll. It's a very long book. Only the book of Psalms has more chapters than Isaiah. So to me, it was an act of God that the attendant, or Jesus, picked up the exact scroll that Jesus wanted to read from that day. Although I confess that it just occurred to me, even as Luke tells us, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus, unrolling it, Jesus found the place where it is written. It occurred to me, if you have the whole Old Testament memorized, Jesus could have faked it. He didn't actually have to find the passage he wanted on the scroll. Jesus could quote Isaiah whether he found it on the page or not, right? Jesus could have faked it. But Luke testifies to a greater miracle, just the right scroll, and Jesus quickly finds his place, what we are able to call Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, we always have people who say, we need a literal interpretation of God's word. Well, okay, But let's take the recovery of sight to the blind promise that Messiah will bring. Jesus does bring sight to the blind. When Jesus is asked if he is the Messiah, Jesus' response is, "The blind receive their sight." So, am I Messiah or not? But even Jesus plays around with the idea of blindness being more than not being able to literally see. Jesus will talk about those who have eyes but do not see. Jesus even asks the disciples, "Do you have eyes but fail to see?" Some of the Pharisees will ask, and they do have eyes that see, but the Pharisees ask, "Are we blind?" So even Jesus does not take the prophet Isaiah literally, but both literally and figuratively or symbolically, and therefore we would be okay and correct and expand on all the promises that Jesus gives in this quotation from Isaiah to proclaim good news to the poor. So the literal poor and the spiritually poor, those who are spiritually needy, the Messiah will supply them. Jesus quotes that the Lord has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I don't think that Jesus is suggesting anarchy. Jesus isn't talking about shutting down Guantanamo prison and releasing all the terrorist suspects. Is he? I don't think so. Is Jesus talking about equal rights under the law or due process or a quick and speedy trial? I would be surprised if Jesus is intending to say that. People are prisoners of almost everything. People are prisoners of almost everything. Prisoners of their lifestyle. Prisoners of their thought patterns. Prisoners of their addictions. Some people make themselves prisoners of their past, saying, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that." Jesus would later accuse some of the Pharisees of making people a child of hell, a prisoner of hell. Did Jesus come to free prisoners of hell? Yes, he did. Jesus is talking about freedom, real freedom. The Apostle Paul will say to the Galatians, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." So Jesus isn't talking just about literal chains. And the same can be said about oppression. Jesus again accused some of the Pharisees of making burdens too heavy for people to carry. Some of those Pharisees made burdens too heavy for people to carry, and then those same Pharisees wouldn't even help those people carry those burdens that they were giving them to carry. You can be free from that oppression, Jesus said, repeating the prophet, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Okay, we've been through the whole list of promises from the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus says, there are also Jesus' promises. I'm the Messiah. Here are the promises the Messiah will fulfill. Jesus has come to help all these people. So I'm going to state an obvious statement because I often think it's important to state the obvious. Jesus has come to help people who have problems. Do I understand that correctly? Jesus has come to help people who have problems. So if you don't have problems, Jesus has not come for you, right? Jesus said to some of the Pharisees, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Let me say it crudely, if you ain't sick, you don't need Jesus. If you have no problems, Jesus didn't come for you. That makes sense, right? Other versions of the Bible say the same thing in slightly different ways. The ones who need a doctor aren't the healthy, but the sick. It is the sick people who need a doctor, not those who are healthy. And Jesus is saying, Jesus said on that day in the synagogue so long ago, "The doctor is now in, the doctor is here. Healing has come." Sight has come. Oppression is lifted. For we read that Jesus sat down after the reading from Isaiah, and it was customary for the visiting rabbi to comment on the scripture just read. So everyone is looking at Jesus, and Jesus then says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Other versions of the Bible emphasize the immediacy of what Jesus is saying. While you heard me reading these words just now, they were coming true. While you have just heard me read, what you have just heard me read has come true today. While you heard these words just now, they were coming true. And one more. Then he began to tell them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled even as you heard it being read." This should be obvious to all of us, should it not? We covered this the other day, on the 24th of December. Those, like verse 3 of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Why? Because God said it. So, the Messiah comes in and says, "I've come to give sight to the blind, free the prisoners." It's going to happen now. It's happening today. Because Messiah is here. This should be obvious to all of us, but we might be surprised that this is not obvious to lots of people in churches. Now, the Pharisees had the same problem. The Pharisees thought that everyone had to get ready for the Messiah to show up. A lot of Pharisees thought that. Stay ritually pure. Wash yourself, wash your souls, so Messiah can come. I hope that sounds backward to you, but we do the same thing today. We do. I'll give you an example. Once my mother was working again as a teacher, having been home with four children for about 10 years, when she started working again outside the home, she got a cleaning lady. And I can remember her saying to me more than once, "I want you to clean up this room before the cleaning lady comes tomorrow." You heard that, right? Clean up this room before the cleaning lady comes tomorrow. And when you're 10 years old, you clean the room in preparation for the cleaning lady. When you become a teenager, you are told, "Clean up this room before the cleaning lady comes tomorrow." But now you're old enough to ask, "Did you hear what you just said? You want me to clean before the person who is paid to clean shows up?" And mother says, "Yes," like that's one of the most sensible things she's ever said. And if you're me, you clean the room because the cleaning lady is coming tomorrow, but you think to yourself, "Really, I'm being raised by a crazy woman." Even repeating these crazy words back to my mother did not open her eyes to the craziness. My mother's words made perfect sense to her, just as it did to some of the Pharisees. And it makes just as much sense to lots of church people. You must clean up before you come into the church. You need to come to church sober and able to walk and carrying no chains or burdens from your past. And remember to pay proper respect to God and God's sanctuary. But if the church is a hospital, as I believe it is, what some church people are saying is, "You need to be well, or you need to look well before you can go to the hospital." It's like saying, "Hey, sick person, you'll need to treat your own woundedness before the doctor can see you." Really? What I heard Jesus say in the synagogue so long ago was this: the doctor has come to you right now, right where you are. If you plan to get ready, it's too late. Salvation is here and now. Don't wait anymore for Messiah to show up. Jesus said, "I'm here." Don't prepare anymore for Messiah to come. Messiah is here, ready or not. Jesus said, "Here I am." Drop your duster to clean before the cleaning lady comes. The cleaning lady is here, and she has her bucket and mop and duster in her hand. She will sweep your floor. When the doctor comes to you and asks how you are doing, don't tell the doctor that you're fine. Especially if you've just had a heart attack, or your heart is breaking, or your soul is broken, or you're in pain, physical, mental, or spiritual. Tell the doctor, I am not well. I need the attention of the healer. I need to see a medical professional. I need to see the good doctor. I need to see the best doctor there is, Jesus the Messiah. So the doctor has come. The doctor is in. Are you sick or are you well? Salvation is here now. The door to the doctor is open. If you need a doctor, go right in. The doctor is waiting for you. The doctor will see you now. But as I hear myself say those words, it's our doors who are closed, not the doctor's. The doctor's here. Will we go through the door to the doctor? Or are we going to sit outside and be sick? Imagine the poor crippled person whom Jesus healed while four other people brought him to Jesus, even pulling an opening in a house roof to drop the man in. I would be surprised if that man had a chance to get ready to get well that day. He was hauled in. He didn't get a chance to ask himself if he was sick enough to see a doctor. That crippled man didn't get a chance to take his Saturday night bath for church or get dressed in his Sunday to go to meet and close. That man got hauled to the emergency room by four other guys. Now, if we wait to get ready to go to God, the door might be closed when we get there. Jesus said it, I didn't. If we wait to get ready to go see the doctor might not be available. Wait to see the doctor? Why? Are you not sick? Are we not crippled? Are we not in chains? Are we not in pain? The doctor is here now. Those with no problems at all surely do not need to see the doctor. But Jesus said to everyone else, come to me all. The doctor is in right now. You don't even have to go to the doctor. The doctor has come to you in Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. A blessed and happy new year. Amen.